Hey, Dylan.
Hi, Six.
You like this supernatural sounding drop in?
Wait, why is this supernatural sounding?
Because it does. You can't even tell that this wasn't part of the original recording. It sounds just like it was always there.
Oh. Does it?
Yeah, totally.
I can't. I don't want to lie. What if I lie by saying yes?
You lie all the time. That's what our relationship is founded on.
What?
Anyway.
What?
What?
Sorry, I can't go higher pitch than that. I tried, and it made my voice instead go out.
Fair enough.
God, I love looking at those waves. Sorry, I'm looking at the waves because I have Audacity open, and I don't have to have a Gundam Wiki page open, so I just see the three waves of me and my successive whats, which is great. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Well, hey, folks. We're coming to you right before recording this, right before this episode goes out. Tomorrow is the big Scanline Media stream. We are doing a big, like, funding drive to try and get patrons back, because if you don't know, we have a Patreon. That's how we fund most of our stuff. We do site hosting, we pay for various services, we buy new equipment. And Patreon did a fucky-wucky and just lost a lot of our patrons. They just literally unsubscribed them for us, which is really unkind. And we're like, we want to get those people back, so we're going to do an 8-hour stream being like, hey, this is us, this is the stuff we do, hang out with us and maybe consider supporting us. And the first segment is Gundam Battle Operation 2 with Dylan here.
Yay! Hello! I play GBO too.
So, yeah, come on by. We'll be starting at 11 a.m. PST, 2 p.m. EST. Those are both, you know, American time zones. I'm not going to do all the conversions right now. And we'll be going until 7/10. 8-hour stream, lots of segments, lots of fun. Archive will go up as well. Swing by, ooh, enjoy, consider supporting us.
I just realized, what's up? I should save my 10 draw then, because it's going to be another 10 draw tomorrow, I think, right?
Oh, that's true.
I'll save the 10 draw for when we're on the show then.
It's too bad we won't know what the new suit is by then, but it is what it is.
Wouldn't we?
No, they announced it in the evening. Oh, wait.
No, yeah.
It's Wednesday today.
It's Wednesday today, yeah.
Damn, all right, cool.
Yeah, no, we're doing it on a Thursday, so that's, yeah, no, it'll be right after it updated.
Days are hard. Anyway, please swing by. Please check out and support the stream. Perhaps consider supporting us, and we'll hope to see you there.
Yeah.
The current spoiler warning level is butterscotch.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of butterscotch. We're talking about cars from the meat dimension, from the real world. So those are all fine. But then at the end, we get to a listener question. And as part of that question, we mention a few light mechanical details of future Gundam things, so I will drop in a spoiler before that. They're quite light, but if you're trying to go in completely blind, you would want to skip that section. Anyway, please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista and G Plus. I'm Six Emma.
Google Plus? Hi, I'm Dylan.
No, Mechanista and G Plus, I just said.
What is Mechanista and G Plus, though? What makes it plus?
Well, like most tech companies, we're going to figure it out as we go.
Oh, we're not a tech company.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
See,
this is why I keep you around to check my own places.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Six, what do we want to roll this week?
I mean, you know, the world is our oyster.
Well, it's whatever you want. You're in control.
The world is my oyster. Fuck you.
Yeah.
We got a question. I'm going to dump a question here. I'm going to drop it in our chat.
Oh, okay.
Normally, what I said I would do a long time ago, and by a long time, I don't know, like 2 months ago, is like, I'll just post the questions in advance, and then, you know, you can have an answer ready. And then I keep forgetting to do that, so I'm just posting it now so that at the end of the episode, Dylan can have perhaps some thoughts. But we're going to go ahead and roll a listener request. I appear to have lost my D4 again. I really need to clean up in here. Okay, first half. Whoop, that wasn't a roll. That was me failing to pick it up. Hey! All right, I don't think you're going to get the model number on this one.
Really?
Okay. This is a request from Admiral Mapping Discord member Wiz. Thank you for your request, Wiz. This is the L200.
L200?
L200.
Is this a car?
This is a car.
All right.
I mean, technically, I suppose we'll be covering the whole L series.
All right. Well, what is it? I'm not going to get it.
Here. This is the Saturn L series.
Saturn L. Okay. I think my mom had one of these.
I had one of these. That's why it's here, is because I made some jokes about why don't we cover the first car I ever drove.
Okay.
And then Wiz stepped up and requested it.
All right. Saturn L. It's not as long of a line, it looks like, at least, compared to some other cars.
No, I imagine we'll cover the Aura, too, but the thing is, the Saturn line of products is short because they got killed off by General Motors.
Yeah, actually, now that I look at it, I don't know if my mom had one of these, though, because these started in 2000, and my mom had a Saturn at some point. Was it 2000? Oh, no, it may have been 2000. It may have been an S-series, though, that she had, now that I look at it. Well, you know what makes me think about it? It's the front of the car, and it looked familiar on the L-series, but it looks even more familiar on the, the S-series, the third generation.
Gotcha.
And then 1999. I'm just trying to think. I guess she had the Mustang that got in the accident, and then she had the Saturn for a bit. I can't remember. I can't remember the exact car. She had a Saturn of some sort, and there's not a lot of them, so it's definitely, I'm pretty sure it's an S series. Probably a second gen, actually.
Okay, let's start there.
Oh, wait, shouldn't we start with the first series then?
Like the first car they ever made. We're not going to do the entire company.
The Saturn S, though. Like there's the
first. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Saturn S. All right. The Saturn S series is a family of compact cars in the Saturn Automobile Company of General Motors.
A new type of car company.
Saturn pioneered the brand-wide no-haggle sales technique. Excuse me.
So this is a this is actually a thing that I really. My family really appreciated about them. You know how you go to a car company and they're like, you know, like you go to a car dealership and they're like, here's this car, it's $50,000. And you're like, what about $49,000? And they're like, what about $49,800? Saturn doesn't do that, or didn't. They're, of course, gone now. But they showed up and they were like, hey, this is the price. Oh, yeah, you have to fucking haggle.
That's stupid. For a car. That's stupid, and I hate it.
Yes. Yes. You don't have to haggle. Well, you, again, didn't have to haggle for a Saturn. They showed up with the price. That was the price.
Okay. And I assume they were they on the cheaper end?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They weren't, like, crazy, but they were, like, they were budget-priced family cars.
Yeah. All right. The automobile platform, the Z-Body, was developed in-house at Saturn. Shared very little with the rest of the General Motors line. It implemented a space frame design. That's fun. Name-wise, I know that that doesn't mean actually space, but look, space frame's a fun name. Used on the Pontiac Fiero during the 1980s with a non-load carrying side panel made of plastic instead of metal. These polymer panels were dent-resistant, something that remained a selling point for Saturn until the Saturn brand was discontinued. Yeah, so looking at the first gen... Oh, fuck, she may have actually... You know, the reason why I'm thinking she may have had a first gen is specifically the one that they use as the example here for a first gen. Mm-hmm. This is the color she had on hers, too.
This, like, sort of caramel apple red?
Oh, no, this one.
Or not Carmobble, Candy Apple is what I meant. And yeah, okay, not that one.
In the first generation.
Well, this color, this sort of very light, like, sandy tan,
yeah.
Is actually a very classic Saturn color. They ran this for almost all of their lines.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so I guess we have the first generation, which was constructed for 1991 through 1995. It was made in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Huh. Same day that the CEO of GM retired. It was maroon with a tan interior. Okay. Sorry,
it's a lot of detail about the first one they made. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I ended up looking at the guy who retired, and I'm like, yeah, that looks like a weird old CEO guy. Anyway. So, from 1991 to 1992, the SL Series sedan trim consisted of the SL, the SL1, and the SL2. The base SL model featured an MP2 5-speed manual transmission only, and had manual steering. Wait, manual? What does manual steering mean here?
It means it didn't have power steering. There was no force assistance on your steering.
I don't know what the difference would even feel like, because I don't know what my car had.
Your car almost certainly has power steering.
Power steering, okay. I was going
if,
to say.
If you, like, imagine you are trying to make a very hard turn, and the steering wheel does not want to turn.
Oh.
That's manual steering.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That sounds scary to me. My wheel ever stopped turning when I'm trying to turn, I'd be like, what?
I mean, usually... I feel like that I haven't had a ton of experience with manual steering, but I have had some. And usually it's like, if you're feeling like, if the steering wheel is fighting you, it's because with power steering, the turn is going to go bad anyway, right? Like you would skid or something.
Also, throwing this at the start of the episode before anyone gets bored of me being annoyed about cars. Hey, request, if you want to, you can also try to request, I don't know, request like a jet or something.
Or a motorcycle?
No. I was saying, I meant non-civilian. But whatever.
Oh, I see. Your problem is with civilians.
No, my problem is I want to talk... I mean, I don't know if I would have more fun talking about a military vehicle, but I'm just like, God damn it, a car again? Anyway. On the exterior...
It's been a while since we did a car.
Has it been a while? It feels like it's been recent.
It's been at least 3 weeks.
Oh. On the exterior, the car featured a unique hubcap different from the SL1 and came with only a driver's side exterior mirror. The passenger mirror was a popular dealer installed option.
It's more than a month. I checked.
Okay. Wait, no mirror on the passenger side. That sounds dangerous to me.
It's not ideal, I would say.
Yeah, no, I didn't even think that would be legal.
Laws are a funny thing. As Jackson discovered last night, asbestos is still not illegal.
And I've been playing Dragon Quest, and my favorite thing is the fire-resistant earrings are asbestos earrings, and I find that very funny. Anyway. But, yeah, that just... Because I'm like, wait, then how do you look in, like... Do you just look over your shoulder every time you need to look to your right? Like, all the way over?
Sure. I mean, you should anyway.
You should anyway, but, like, it feels like it's going to add a bit more guesswork, I guess, in some ways. Like, it's not as quick for you to interpret all the... Well, it just doesn't feel like you're going to interpret all the information as quickly anyway. I don't know. It just feels... I'm like, I haven't driven in a little while, so I'm like, I know that I do look over my shoulder, too. It's not like I only use the mirror. But, I mean, the mirror is helpful. Anyway, sorry, it's just something I was thinking about. It featured a standard AM-FM radio, no cassette player, and a lower-grade cloth material for the seats. Some factory options, such as power windows, power locks, or cruise control, were not available on the SL, but air conditioning and an AM-FM cassette radio were available on the option seat. Oh, you could not have an SL in Vegas. If you had no air conditioning in your car and you lived in Las Vegas, you would die. And driving your car, I think.
Cool.
Like, I had air conditioning in my car, and during the summer, my car became an oven, even with air conditioning. So I cannot imagine having a no AC car in a Las Vegas summer. Anyway, the SL1 trim level added power steering, a passenger mirror, different hubcaps for the 14-inch wheels, an AM/FM cassette player, and softer cloth on the seats. It featured as standard equipment the same MP2 manual or MP6 four-speed automatic transmission, or the four-speed automatic could be an option. The SL1 could be optioned with power windows, power locks, power mirror, cruise control, and air conditioning. What is with all the power terms here?
It's the late 90s, you know. Well, no, I guess it's the early 90s. It's a bunch of this stuff is like... It is before these things are just considered like...
Standard,
and so a lot of these are like features, but they're features that are really easy for them to include. And so it's like, check out all the power we've got in this car.
Power windows. So is like power windows like automatic windows as opposed to you rolling the thing?
Uh-huh.
And power locks is just you hit the lock button and... Wait, did you used to have to manually lock every door in your car?
Yes. What? How old are you?
I'm what am I? 30.
17.
I'm 30.
Yeah, you should know that.
I think every car we ever had the buttons for the lock, even like the Saturn that we had. I thought, well, the Saturn was maybe when I was too young to know, but like every car where I was aware of it, you hit the lock button on the door and it locks all the doors down. I just thought that was like a normal thing for most cars.
I think it wasn't till I was 13 or 14 that we had a car with power locks. Or power windows, for that matter.
Power windows were something that I know are, like, newer. Because, see, we had... So, I remember the locks. It wasn't like we had the locks. Now, the one that was fancy for me was when we had locks that had the remote. That was fancy. But it used to still have the inner door. You hit the lock thing down and it hits all the locks down. We just didn't have a remote for it. I know her old car did not have power windows because I used to like cranking the, you know, you rotate the weird wheel thing to pull the windows down. And I actually used to think that power windows were bad because you didn't get the analog control of rolling the window down.
I can see that perspective, you know.
I mean, well, you know, it doesn't help that, like, I am a child when I'm thinking of this, and me being a child, I mean, even as I record this right now, I am kicking my leg a little. I like to be moving and stuff, so it turns out analog window, here's the thing, I wouldn't roll them up and down while we were driving, but you know how they had the little wheel at the end of it that could rotate? I would flick that constantly while we were driving because, you know, it rotates.
Gotcha. You needed medication.
Probably. I'm just like this. Yeah. I mean, I'm still like this, and I have medication. I like moving. The SL1, let's see, option with power windows. Yeah, already read that. Both offered only the SOHC 1.9 I4 LKO engine that produced 85 horsepower, which was rated at 27 miles per gallon. 34 miles per gallon highway. That's better than my car still. I like that, like, when it says only there, my brain goes, oh, does that mean it's a bad engine? And then I see that miles per gallon, and I'm like, fuck. I was really missing
out. It's honestly, this is just, a continued indictment of your transportation. That's not great for a budget sedan.
I mean, I had a Kia Sorento. I had an SUV because it was the thing.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I'm sure that SUVs in general are just not great on mileage. But
true.
Because the car was reliable. It's just I wish I had better miles per gallon. But what I want is probably a car. The problem is it was the cheapest thing that someone we knew had available for me to buy, and I only bought it for like $3,000 when it was a car that was worth, you know, even at the time, like $10,000. But we bought it off someone who wasn't using it, so. Anyway. Let's see. The SL2 trim.
Finally. Yeah.
Featured the MP3 5-speed manual transmission or the MP7 4-speed automatic transmission, both exclusively with the DOHC 1.9L I4 LLO engine that was rated at 24 miles per gallon city or 34 miles per gallon highway, which same, it just has more horsepower, basically, seems to be the main thing. And actually, it has worse miles per gallon city.
Yeah, see. Yeah.
The SL2 also brought body color bumpers, 15-inch steel wheels, alloys were optional, and higher spec cloth on the seats, including seat backs. On the SL and SL1, the seat backs were vinyl. SL2s could be optioned with power windows, locks, mirror, again, passenger side only, cruise control, air conditioning, sunroof, and leather seats. Anti-lock brakes were available as an option as well, which brought along rear disc brakes.
Well, then hell yeah, anti-lock brakes are great.
Yep. I mean, again, my car had those, so that's the only experience I have is with anti-lock brakes. I don't know how they work without anti-lock, I guess.
I mean, you know what they do. You've felt anti-lock brakes kick in before, right?
I mean...
Well, I guess in Las Vegas you might not have.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew what braking felt like in my car, but you have to remember, I haven't driven a wide variety of vehicles. I had only driven my car.
So if you push your brakes really hard, a little light turns on your HUD, and what happens is the brakes start to, instead of just holding down, they start to very quickly, like, press and release over and over.
Okay.
Have you ever felt that?
I think so, and only in very rare instances, because I usually didn't slam the brakes.
Right. This was mostly a feature, like, you would mostly worry about this if you're driving over ice. Right?
Oh,
ice and snow.
Yeah, okay.
That's where anti-lock braking really comes in handy.
Okay.
Because otherwise, if, you know, your brakes, if your wheels lock up, then you have lost control of the car and they're sliding.
Yeah, which is not good, given the size of a car and you are propelling through ice.
One time I was driving with my sister in winter in Illinois. And, well, I don't remember, you know, we were kids. And... we were driving down the road and then someone, like, there was a stop sign. It was a two-way stop and it was a stop sign where very often people would just go because there wasn't a lot of traffic and you couldn't see very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person coming, you know, perpendicular to us just went and they saw us and they hit their brakes and we hit our brakes. Anti-lock kicked in and the car slowed and then barely hit them at like 2 miles an hour. Zero damage to either car, but the guy did start laughing at the abject horror on our faces. So that's fun.
That is kind of funny. After the fact, at least. Yeah, I'm like looking at, I decided to look because, you know, I'm like, okay, what are my cars, like, what was like the standard on my car? What's weird to me is actually, so these get better highway miles per gallon, right? And less good city.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at, like, the 2004 Kia Sorento, and it gets better city than it gets highway, and I don't... That's confusing to me.
Is it hybrid or electric?
No.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Yeah.
I don't know why that would be. I'm sure someone smarter does.
I was using this. It says, so it's 16.3 automatic city and 11.9 automatic highway.
That's dog shit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. that's, I mean, that's a, unfortunately, that's a, you know, that's an SUV for you. Did have, wow. Okay, so it did have power steering and it did have, okay. I'm just like curious what my car had, because again, I don't have a lot of like experience driving other cars.
Uh-huh.
My engine was much stronger.
Yeah,
but again,
yeah,
it's a much bigger car. So
here's a fun fact. So they talked about, you know, we've said this thing gets like, you know, 27 miles per gallon, you know, city, 34 highway.
Uh-huh.
Owners of the base model typically report real world fuel mileage of around 38 to 41 miles per gallon.
On the highway with the manual.
Uh-huh. Well, and with the other engine, 46 to 49. That's very good.
Huh. Maybe they just underreported because they don't want, like, it was, like, specific test-related things. You don't want to be liable if it doesn't get that
right,
good.
Right, and it's like you have to drive this in a very specific way or something, and once you get used to it, you naturally do that.
I was
whatever.
Gonna,
I don't know.
And specifically with it being manual transmission, I imagine the miles per gallon can fluctuate depending on the driver's habits.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Driving a hybrid, I once got to, I had an appointment in a town that was half an hour away, but it was also downhill, and I got there with infinity miles per gallon.
What? Explain.
Well, because I wasn't using any gas at all. I was using enough electricity from the battery to run the car, but also by moving downhill, I was generating as much as I was using.
Oh, that's...
I was very proud of myself. I was driving very the most gentle braking in the world.
That's very funny. All right.
Listen, when you're driving to dialysis all the time, you have to find ways to entertain yourself.
Fair enough.
So the reason people are actually here, Dylan, look at this car. Tell us about this car.
It's a nice looking car. So we've got a again, it is starting to become like. It's not, like, the fanciest car we've covered on here, but I will say it's not, like, a bad-looking car to me. So, if we're talking about the first generation, the front, you have headlights that are very square, which is one of the things I like. I like these square headlights.
Mm-hmm. And recessed.
Yeah, they're recessed a bit. It looks like it's got eye bags, if you're seeing it as a face.
Yeah, yeah.
The lower bumper, at least on one of the models here, is actually, like, very obviously plastic. It's not the same as the, you know, outer body. And I actually really like the two-tone that gives with having the front and rear bumper be like this like black kind of plastic finish as opposed to the, and it's like more of a matte as opposed to, you know, the body paint. It's pretty no frills, I want to say. Like, a lot of the details just, there are lines which are interesting, like, the area where the lights are recessed in, that, like, the upper, I guess you would call that the upper bumper, has, like, there's, like, a line before it meets, like, the rest of the body. There's a, you know, the line on the hood, obviously, for popping the hood. There's, like, another line running from, like, the front all the way to the back of the car, like, leading to the rear lights. It has a lot of
that
lines.
That line specifically, the line that is, like, next to the hood line that goes all the way to the back.
Yeah.
The front of it has this little, like, triangular portion before it merges and continues down, and it feels almost Sid Meady to me.
Yeah, this car feels, yeah, it has, like, a lot of panel lining. It is a weird way of putting it, but that's what it feels like on this car.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, when you hit the side little, it's not really a bumper, but, like, the bottom of the door that sticks out a bit more, you know, the door areas and the side of the body, you've got, like, a nice little bump there that sticks out a little bit more is all.
You might feel at home here, Dylan. Yeah. I think people call that the side skirt.
Oh, okay, it is a side skirt. Okay.
I could be wrong.
I mean, I guess it hangs right too, like a skirt looking at it, so.
Oh, it can hang.
Haha. But yeah, then you've got the doors, you've got the classic pull up the knob door design, like it's, you know, the little rectangular knob and you pull it up.
Yeah, the sort of black flap that lifts up.
Yep. Roof is, I mean, standard, it's flat. You do have, like, a lot of window going on with this car, actually, looking at it. Like, looking at the front and the rear. You know what? Mm-hmm. That actually might help with, you know, having to always look over the shoulder and stuff and not having the passenger mirror, I will admit, is this seems to have way more clear, like, area of window that you can see out, too. You know?
Yeah, and it doesn't have those sections that are, like, we've talked about it before, I forget what they're called now, but, like, this is basically the bars in the window where you can't see.
Well, like
there are parts there, but they are literally just holding up the roof. They try to make them thin.
Yeah. Like again, if you look at, like, the Kia Sorento, my car, you see that there is parts that are colored like the car body that are, you know, just outright blocking your view.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's nice to also have the mirror alongside being able to look over. This looking over seems like you would just get a very good field of view. Very, very minimal, like, bits between the front passenger and the passenger door and the rear passenger door / driver door, rear passenger door.
C-pillar, that's the term I wanted.
Yeah. You know, the...
It's ironic, because you can't see through it.
The whole back of it looks basically like, you know, it's all window. There's a lot of window here, even, like, the whole back panel is just, like, a big window that wraps around. Then, looking at the... Let me see if I can find a good rear of the car. Oh, there we go. Has a pretty, like, minimal rear thing going on, too. You've got, like, a... The trunk has, like, a weird little, like... It's not a spoiler, but, like, above the brake lights, it does, like, hang a little, like, you know, you've got, like, a little overhang going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it does extend a little bit there.
The taillights also look depressed, because the edges of them kind of, like, slope downward on the outer edges. Or outer, you know, circles, I guess. Wouldn't use edge there. You know, the rear bumper, again, separate material, very obviously plastic as opposed to the rest of the car's paint. Even on a model like this where you actually have it, like, a similar color between the bumper and the car, it's obviously a different material.
I feel like if I had eyes on my ass, they would probably look tired, too.
And then you've got, also built into the bumper are, like, those little, you know,
Reflectors,
yeah. Yeah. Can't really see the exhaust
and
too well.
And the word Saturn.
Oh, yeah, and the word Saturn on the bumper, too. You got, like, a little downward-facing exhaust, it looks like, but I can't really see too much of it. And, yeah, I mean, it looks like a simple, functional car, right? Like, which is what it seems to be, what it seems to have been made to do, is this is a simple, functional car. It's funny how different the feel can be depending on the colors, like, and even, like, the type. Well, no, because apparently these are both SL1s, so, like, you look at that maroon SL1 at the top, right? And it looks, it's funny, because it looks a lot sharper than the more tan-colored one there. But, in reality, it's like, these are both SL1s, you know? I wonder if, now that I look at it, that line that we see going on the one, I don't think that's a line. The one that, like, appears to be going, like, from the front to the back.
Wait, you think it's a sticker?
No, I think that's a power line, like, in the reflection. Because look at the maroon one at the top, it doesn't have that. I think that that's, like, a weird, like, that's a reflection of something.
Oh, it's a very specific reflection.
Yeah, it looks...
Yeah, tricked both of us.
Yeah, because it looks perfectly aligned to be, like, a weird panel line going from front to back. But actually, like, when you look at other models of SL1, they don't have that. It's just, I think it's just a power line that's reflective.
That's too bad. I really liked
it. Yeah, no, it looked cool. That's funny. And I also noticed, because you look at the one, well, you know what it is too, it doesn't help that if you look, there's a curve there, especially if you look at the rear SL1, like the rear shot they have. If you look, like, behind the brake lights, you can see that that also picks up, like, a weird line there. I think it's because there's, like, a slight curvature there, that the way the reflection goes, it looks thicker there, like here. You can kind of see it here, what I mean, there you go. You see what I mean, how there's, like, that line?
Yeah.
But yeah, so, damn, that's a shame. It would have been cool to just have a random panel line like that.
Yeah, damn.
In 1993, they made a station wagon version of this, which is basically, looks pretty much the same, other than it's a station wagon now, right? Like, the back of it's changed, but the front looks pretty similar.
This is the SW.
Yeah. It even uses the same doors as the sedan. It just has a different bodywork behind the C-pillar and roof. So it's literally just they gave it a sedan, like, treatment on the back. In 1994, there was a planned SL3 model, it would have been an SC front end with an SL2 body with all options as standard. It didn't happen, seemingly, given the way it's talked about.
Here is from SaturnFans.com. The mysterious Saturn SL3 is the Loch Ness monster of the Saturn world. Some have witnessed proof of its existence, but only a few have seen it, and I'm not aware of any photos of the vehicle.
So, it did mention the, oh, wait, I skipped past the SC also. So, there is the SC, yeah, which I mentioned the front
which
end.
Which is the sporty one.
It's
SC looks great.
Yeah, no, this is a cool-looking car, actually. So it featured a different engine that had 123 horsepower, which is much more than the standard. Because what was the standard, like 80 horsepower or something like that?
But the, like, the...
Oh, no, 123 horsepower, better, okay.
But the better engine in the SL2 is also 123. I think it's the same engine.
Okay, yeah. The SC Coupe was renamed the SC2, and the new a new SC1 trim level was introduced. For the 1994 model year, the SC1 and SC2 both got revised power door locks and a recalibrated automatic transmission. The SC received a minor refresh in 1995, that which had a lower front bumper, and the vehicle's taillights were updated. For 1995, they got a redesigned interior with a new redesigned dashboard and with a front passenger airbag. Oh, right. Airbags were also optional. Oh, it's so weird thinking about cars of, like, certain eras because, like, again, the problem is also, one, you know, I'm a kid, and two, like, in that era, and two, like, a lot of these things have become standard. Like, I don't think that there are cars that you can easily, like, that are easily advertised as not having airbags now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure everyone has airbags. Like, even, again, even my car, front airbags for the driver and the passenger. So, you know.
I mean, especially, I think that happened sooner with SUVs. Once SUVs started being a thing, part of the idea of SUVs is, like, don't worry, if you crash, you win. So, they definitely had airbags from the conception of the type of vehicle.
Anything else? The first generation SC Coupes shared the same fixed headlight front fascia as the SL sedans and SW station wagons, rather than the pop-up headlight used on the SC2 and original SC. The SC1 also lacked a rear trunk lid reflector and a rear stabilizer bar. But the original the Saturn SC pre-facelift here looks great. The pop-up lights look really good. I like the way that they look. It's definitely got a more angular, sharper design. The version they put here is red with, like, silver bottom, but then the silver has, like, a red line going through it. It looks it's really good. I love the way the front of the car looks, especially. It just looks incredibly, like... It looks like a sportier, fancier car, you know?
I also like it has, like, just very gentle, like, I mean, you know, almost like Gundam, like, chest venting right below the pop-up headlights.
Yeah. It's got this,
looks really good.
Mm-hmm. And then,
it's got a very subdued spoiler on the back.
Yeah. The taillights, don't look as depressed. They're more, they are more rounded and they kind of extend, you know, they extend further around the body there. It just looks great. This is a good-looking car, actually. You know, for me complaining about the melange of, like, the 90s cars, this is actually a pretty good looking one.
Yeah, the other ones, the other SCs we see here are more, like, they're one color, and they're a little less charming.
Yeah, the SC, the 1995 cute. And 96 models of the SC 1 and 2 were definitely not as fancy looking, especially, like, the front of them doesn't have as much going on, it's still, the one SC here that's the tan does still have, like, the vents below the pop-up lights, which is neat, but then you have the version with the fixed headlights, and when you put the fixed headlights on it, sure, it has the spoiler, and it still is more angular, but it does look a lot more like a regular Saturn. Also, this guy's is very rusty.
It makes it look even more depressed when his eyelids are rusting.
Yeah, and, like, the paint is chipped off a bunch of parts. Whoever Saturn this is in Vermont. Well, probably not a person. It's probably a dealership, but, you know. Like, a used car dealership. Oh, because the license plate is empty, right?
Oh, good point. Oh, no, the license plate is photoshopped.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
If you zoom in, you can see that it it's very uniform in a way that this photo would not be. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're all referencing images from Wikipedia. The Wikipedia page, so.
Yeah. Then we have the second generation SL and SW. They already look worse. What have you done?
This headlight situation is not a good call.
Yeah, these headlights suck. So it does have, like, square headlights, but they're very narrow. It looks stuffy. This car looks stuffy is the way I would describe it.
I feel like it looks like a head. Like, I feel like it is someone with a migraine.
Yeah, like, it. I don't like it. You know, and it's funny because, like, a lot of the rest of it is pretty similar overall, like the overall design. It does now have circular doorknobs. The bumper is now like metal, like it is, you know, clearly the same mm-hmm. material as the rest of the body.
It actually does have the line now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that one's for real.
Well,
It could also be a reflection. It's so hard to tell. It's so hard to tell.
Yeah.
No, you can also see it on the station wagon. It does.
Okay,
just
this
the
does
line.
Have that line. Okay, cool. This one has the
which
line.
Which maybe, well, maybe the other one does too. Maybe those were, maybe that was a different model where they added that line.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. This is the conspiracy here.
Yeah, the standard car version of this, it rounds out a bit more of the car. This is actually becoming the 90s car I don't like, right? Like, it is rounding out a lot of parts of it. There's a station wagon variant, which is just as depressing looking, from the front, and the rear of it looks a little nicer, and the color choice is better on here. Like, that black color of the other one, that reflective black, actually looks really cheap and kind of gross to me. It just doesn't look very good.
As opposed to this sort of like electrum-y sort of silver with a bit of brown and gold.
Yeah. It's got the circular door handles, though. They work otherwise the same way. You know, it's just, it just looking at it is way more of a rounder, more standard car. That one actually doesn't have the station wagon doesn't have the bumpers painted like the rest of the cars, so that's an interesting difference there.
Oh no, look at the rear of the SL. Scroll down a little bit.
Let me take a look.
That's terrible.
This looks like it has a cold. Like it's about to sneeze. That's why its eyebrows are raised like that. It's about to sneeze.
But it's also is like someone just took like a torch to the curves. It just looks gross.
Yeah, not only that, it's somehow they added panel lining that we thought looks cool, but also, oh, you know what that panel lining is? If you look at the rear, you can really see it. It is just that the top of the car is curved a lot. There's like a real heavy curve there, like on the doors and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just a line down it. Huh.
Weird. The back of it looks awful. It went from looking like maybe a cheap but cool car to a cheap but cheap car. Let's read about this. Okay, we've got redesigned exterior. Interior mostly the same as the first generation. Mechanically, it was largely untouched. Due to complaints about the noise coming from the vehicle's trip odometer that had been in the S series since 1995, they did a new type of trip odometer with an attempt to complain to fix the problem. Wait, an odometer making too much noise? Question mark.
That's a hell of a thing.
Yeah. Wait. What does that mean? Like, is it just like making like a loud click when it changes a number or something?
Or a grinding or something. Weird. Yeah, I guess.
For 1998 model year, a new cluster with digital trip odometer had been introduced. Rear disc brakes were no longer available as an option on the S-Series due to high cost for them, as well as little improvement in braking performance over the conventional drum brakes. Beginning with all the Saturn S-Series vehicles made in late 1999, sometimes referred to as the 1999.5 models, they had received improvements to SOHC and DOHC engines. These changes included revised pistons, new connecting rods, new crankshaft counterweights in the engine as well. The twin cam cylinder head now featured a new roller rocker setup with hydraulic tappets and roller cams, replacing the conventional bucket lifter setup of the previous engine in the S-Series. I feel like I'm just reading a word salad in a way that like doesn't make any sense to me because I don't know about
I don't
engines.
Know that we need to read these anymore. I feel like we can scan them for things
we
find interesting.
Yeah, sorry. I thought there would be something there because it was about the engine, and then it's just like, oh. Start turning into that, like, one engineering bit that is repeated a lot. I'll have to dig up that video. Also introduced in the 1999 year were vehicles sold in California with a different exhaust manifold. Oh, probably because, less emissions. Okay, yeah, that's why it was for California. Yeah. Made to apply to a new standard law. Then there's a second generation SC Coupe. Even the SC second generations don't look as good.
No. No, there is a little something to them. They have very, like curved to a point headlights in a way that I think overall the effect doesn't work, but it's an interesting choice. I also like the mouth down below.
Yeah. It's smiling. It's doing a big smiley mm-hmm. face.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Anything else? More curved look. Slight increase in the interior room of it, so that's nice.
This is where they start to look more like the this I think specifically with this SC, this front is the kind of look I tend to associate with a Saturn, this like wide, very rounded front.
Yeah. Weirdly, apparently a front opening clamshell door was added only to the driver's side of the vehicle, which Does that mean it opened up?
Is this... No, that's gull wing.
Oh no, what is clamshell then? Clamshell door.
Clamshell doors like lock together, so what they're saying is there a door behind what? Doesn't
as a clamshell door, the rear driver's side door cannot open unless the front door was open, because the door handle was inside the door itself.
Right. So I've ridden in a car with one of these before, and so basically the way it works is the back door is not, like, I mean, it is, like, it fits the definition of a door, but it feels like it's, like, a half door or something, and you can't even, like, unless the front door is open, you can't even do anything with it.
Oh, I was gonna say, you can actually kind of see it there, I think, on this SC, because, like, look at the doors on the driver's side. There's no, like, rear door that's visible.
Right, but it's a coupe.
Wait, it's a coupe, yeah,
I don't think this model is a... I don't think this model is the example. There's probably a different model that shows that.
But it's still the coupe, though, right? Because it's the SC, which is the Saturn coupe. I don't know.
I guess. I don't understand.
I don't understand either. Third generation looks better than the second gen, but still a bit more boring. Yeah, so we have the Saturn S series redesigned for the final time before being discontinued in 2002. The exterior has new body panels from the belt line down. Redesigned applique on the trunk. Headlights have now have orange turn signal indicators on them, which the original... That's another reason why the headlights actually look so fucking weird, I think, on the second gen. And sure, the first gen also doesn't have, like, the orange, you know, like, turn signal lights, but with how narrow and small they are on the second gen, it's just, like, it looks really weird, because they're just, like, these little white strips, basically, for the headlights.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, so, anything else? Not really, it just looks a little worse and, you know, has some minor internal improvements, it looks like.
The lights don't appear to be recessed anymore in a way that, well, I guess it depends on the model. Some of them are, some of them aren't.
Yeah.
But the ones where they aren't, it looks weirder to me.
Yeah. They're, like, more forward and out. There was also a third generation SC, which looks angry.
That's true. That looks like and that doesn't look like, I don't know. I feel like you get, like, you know, the Dodge Viper, for instance, a car we've covered, which looks like mean and mad. And this looks like a kid you've told you won't let buy cigarettes.
Yeah, like the eyebrows are very furled with the way the hood is designed.
Petulant.
I
don't dislike it.
Yeah, while retaining the previous generation's bodywork, facelifted with redesigned front and rear lights, new headlamps, new tail lamps, front fenders and door panels changed, continuing the character line all the way down to the fog light. Ah, so that line is intentionally there. It's the character line.
Oh, it is the character line. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Good call.
Yeah, I mean, that is what that is. It does add character.
We should stop calling them panel lines.
No, they're panel lines. Same thing.
I know. I just think it would be really funny to show up in the, you know, models and figures chat and start talking about the character lines.
God. And then there are some special edition Saturns. A homecoming edition of the SL2 in 1994. Pearl white paint. That was also shared is a silver tint pearl shared with Cadillac models of that year. Black Saturn emblems, a spoiler, 15-inch teardrop wheels, anti-lock four-wheel disc brakes, gray leather/cloth interior, rear headrests, fog lamps, and power locks and windows. So it's just a very fancy SL2. Honestly, looks way better than the actual SL2. Oh, wait, no, that's SL2, sorry. No, that SL2 is fine, yeah. Sorry. I was getting it mixed up with second generation. So. Yeah, first generation still.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, it looks good. You know, I the pearlescent paint is not as fancy as I would expect it to be looking at it, but it does stand out, like this version. There's also, in 1998, 1999, prospective buyers of a red or white SC2 had the option of purchasing a blacktop coupe package for $225. Models were referred to as red hot coupe or white hot coupe based on the exterior color. The package came with a black roof panel, black outside rear view mirrors, black emblems, white face gauges, and black accented teardrop reels. These are extremely rare. That's just funny to me also. It's only $225 more. If you're already buying a car for, like, you know, 20K or whatever, that doesn't feel like it's adding that much to do it. You see? Uh-huh. Red Hot Coupe Saturn. I need to find that because I'm curious what that looks like, actually. Oh, you know? Looks pretty good, actually. Looking at them, like, the few I can find. The blacktop actually looks pretty nice. Here's a Red Hot Coupe.
Huh. It does, I think, have the same problem of the next one we're about to discuss. So we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, hold on real quick. Here's the white hot version of the...
Ooh.
Oh, damn it, they won't load.
I'm seeing it okay, myself. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that white hot looks all right.
Yeah. And then there's a second homecoming edition with a mint, in a mint color. Oh, I want to find that now. Hold on. 1999 Saturn mint homecoming. I need to find that. Cause I like, oh, it's not a good mint. Okay. It looks a little weird. It's not as nice looking as I was hoping when I heard mint, here. Linking, yeah.
Oh,
it's kind of a I don't know, it needs more green if it wants to be mint to me. It's a little bit,
it's like, it's if blue teal. Got sick.
Yeah, it's a little too teal.
Uh-huh.
And it has a tan interior, off-white gauge faceplates, and black Saturn badges. Also has the same features as the 1994 homecoming. And then in 2001, a special yellow SC2 coupe model was built. It was named the limited edition, but soon became known as the Bumblebee edition. It has embroidered headrests, black leather interior with yellow leather inserts on the seats and door panels, black roof and mirrors.
It is another Poggers car.
Oh, it is a Poggers car. That sucks too. Actually, otherwise, like, if it had a better front, I would like this. I think it's kind of cool. Uh-huh. But, like, the taillight looks such... cool.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of this car looks pretty good. It is such an open mouth there.
Yeah, I don't like that one. They didn't produce very many of any of these, actually. Looking at the special edition production numbers here, there's a lot of the 1994 and 1999 homecoming ones, but other than that, it's like, that limited edition SC2 we were just talking about, was there were 99 of them.
Wow.
And, like, for the Red Hot and White Hot coupes, they were, like, there's a lot of Red Hot coupes in 1998, actually, 657, but the rest are, like, in the, you have 213 White Hots in 1998, and 285 in 1999, and in 1999, the Red Hot only had 284.
I feel like, okay, so I'm gonna give an entry to the Homecoming Edition, and then I guess I have to give one to the Bumblebee Edition, because they get a certificate of authenticity, which seems like it needs its own.
Okay. What is the right-hand drive? What are these? Oh, these were for mail carriers. What? Huh.
Oh, that's... Huh. Okay.
Sure. Apparently, a limited number of Saturns that exported to Japan as right-hand drive vehicles. Oh, I guess that makes sense. Because, yeah. Steering wheel moved. Actually, wait. I forget. Where's the steering wheel in Japan?
It's usually on the right-hand side.
Oh, it is on the right. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I was like, yeah. Wait, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't you notice every time you had to get it at a taxi in the game?
Yeah, no, you're right, because of where they're parked and how you talk to them, and also where they drive on the road, right? It makes sense. My brain just completely spaced on it for some reason there. I was like, wait a minute.
Sure, it happens.
The rear lamps had amber turn signals, and the front indicators mounted closer to the corners rather than inboard. Saturn faced a hard time in Japan, where it played directly into the strength of Japanese manufacturers, comparing unfavorably with better-priced and more competent Japanese compact cars. The interior especially received criticism. Only 602 Saturns were sold in the first year in Japan. Another problem was that Japanese car dealers had always excelled at customer service. This meant Saturn's main sales argument in the U.S. was effectively meaningless in the Japanese market. That's really funny to me. That it's like a no haggling and good customer service thing, which is a selling point in the U.S., is like not a selling point in Japan.
Yeah.
The introduction of the Saturn was also ill-timed, as the economy was in the midst of their recession due to the effects of the bubble economy. And they had less, you know, money to spend on luxury goods, and, well, this is an import.
Also, it's an import of a cheap brand. I don't know.
Yeah, probably
not. Not crazy cheap, but, like, yeah.
I mean, choice. For a vehicle, though, cheap. Though, I wonder if it's more expensive in Japan, though, too, because they have to be exported from America.
Of course it is.
So yeah, you have to ship definitely. Them over, so they're going to be even more expensive in Japan, yeah. Uh-huh. Apparently... the 1995 Saturn SL was the most stolen vehicle in 2003, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Because of a problem here. According to the Linwood, Washington Police Department, when use of the key wears on the door and ignition mechanisms, a filed blank key can be used to open the door and start the engine. That's bad!
Yeah. Probably explain why a 1994 model is the most stolen, but in 2003, specifically, or 1995... Alright, uh-huh. So that's the S-Series, which is not even what we were going to originally cover. Now we have to move to the L, right?
I mean, we could, or we could talk about the Ion real quick.
Alright, yeah, what's the Ion? Oh, is the Ion the actual successor of the S-Series?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, this is an ugly little motherfucker, isn't it? Ooh, I don't...
Some versions of it, yes.
Okay, sorry, the one at the top of the page, the 2006 Ion 2, I don't like the front of this car at all. It has, like, a really goofy smile, and I don't like the lights in the grill, anyway.
Uh-huh.
Alright, so Saturn Ion compact car, 2003-2007, it used the GM Delta platform. I just want to read that, because that's funny to me. Let's see. There are three trim levels, level 1, 2, and 3. Why did they call it a trim level?
I don't know.
Because trim always feels like it would be referring to something much smaller than the entire exterior and parts of the interior of the car. Anyway.
Yeah.
Level 1 was a four-door sedan with entry-level Ion trim, had cloth seating surfaces, 14-inch tires, and steel wheels with plastic wheel covers.
You can see the clamshell doors. See?
Oh, is it on the white one?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, okay, yeah. Oh, that is, okay. Huh. Let's see, AM/FM stereo radio, four-speaker audio, 2.2L dual overhead cam, inline cylinder, blah, blah, blah. Five-speed manual transmission. That matters to people, though. The level one trim was discontinued later.
Name them.
I don't know. I'm sure there are people that care about automatic.
We just got to talk the highlights, Dylan. We don't need to go deep on stuff we don't even understand what we're reading.
Yeah, that's true. Level 2 trim, it was...
You say it, then you immediately start doing it again.
Well, I'm just saying if there's anything different. It mentions that No, there's nothing new there. Okay, never mind. Look, it's hard to tell with cars, okay? To be fair, there have been cars where we've had to read, like... multiple refits within the same fucking year, even.
But you just skim it real quick and you say something like, oh, it looks like the level 3 added, like, the key remotes. That's cool. Keyless entry. Interesting.
Yeah, okay. And then the red line, which was the performance-oriented one.
Uh-huh.
That's funny.
Supercharged engine. We're definitely gonna have to talk about that.
Admittedly, it's the coolest looking out of all of these models. So...
is it? I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So, yeah, looking at the Saturn Ion, though, generally, some of these look better than others, you're right. The Ion 2 is probably the worst-looking one, but, like, this white Saturn Ion coupe with the clamshell doors... looks really good, actually. I like the, I like the headlights a lot. The speaking on like the headlights being eyes, I like that the turn signals look like makeup applied to the eyes here. I don't know.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Neat. And there's like a panel. There are in fact character lines all on a lot of this. One coming out from the headlight that looks really cool, like near the bottom of it, and then one near to the top along the upper part.
Mm-hmm.
Looks really good. Actually.
And there's also like a character like sort of slanted inhale on the doors to the side.
Yeah,
which is very sports car-y.
Yeah, this one actually looks pretty good, the Ion Coupe. Then we have a 2005 Saturn Ion located below this. This thing is ugly.
Yes, this thing looks bad.
I don't like these headlights, and why do they have, like, that little, like, I don't like that little metal teardrop. They are crying. These eyes are crying. You see what I mean, right?
You? Yeah. That's, yeah, I definitely do.
I also really don't like that grill design, though. That's, I think, the thing that really, like, makes it weird. Because it feels like such a half-hearted grill. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it looks like it's trying to have, like, a big, you know, like, big meaty grill like a lot of, like, fancier cars will have. Like,
it
muscle
looks
cars.
Buick-y to me.
But it's so small here that it's, yeah, it just, I don't like it. Still has, like, the character lines in the same places. They look good. It's just the mainly the front of the car is the thing that I think looks really ugly on this.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, there's the Ion 3. Ooh, fancy.
This one looks pretty good.
Yeah. This one's got some fog lights on the bottom, added to it. It goes back to having the headlights that I quite like the design of.
Mm-hmm. It also has, like, grating over the bottom inhale in a way that I think looks pretty good.
Yeah, no, this looks pretty alright. And then there's the Redline Edition down here, and the Redline Edition has the nice headlights that I like, but, like, I like I mainly like the front bumper a lot, because you've got this, like, you've got these cool, like, intakes going on it that look really good, especially mm-hmm. on the side. Otherwise,
I feel like the front middle of the bumper feels a little empty to me. But
you know, that's fair.
But it does look good. You're right.
Then they were discontinued and replaced by the 2008 Astra.
Which we're not gonna do.
Yeah. Alright. L-Series. Alright. Also, Astras just look like modern cars anyway. I just opened them up just to look. Alright, the L-Series. Let's see. Well, you know what? These are your cars. You had one of these, so let's have you do it.
Yeah. This was the first car I drove for. I ran this thing into the ground.
Oh.
I guess that's what you
like
said.
Like, literally, or?
I mean, I guess I technically ran this into another car. It was their fault, not mine.
Okay.
That's the insurance ruling and the police ruling tool for the record. Basically, there were it was a two-lane highway, mm-hmm. and traffic was stopped. But it was stopped on the right lane. The line was like 15 cars longer than in the left lane. And I was coming up on this. And I'm like, well, then obviously I'll go down the left lane, right? I will get 15 cars lead on this. And right as I'm passing, one of the cars that is stopped in the right lane has the same idea and merges into me.
Ah.
The car is totaled.
Hmm.
And then the best part is, like, so I was stuck in a city in Missouri, I guess a town, really, that I didn't particularly know. I ended up taking a bus to get back home eventually.
Ah.
Spent the night there in a hotel. And when I was getting ready to leave, the junkyard was like, hey, if you don't come pay for this, we're going to hold on to your car. And I'm like, have fun with it. And I left.
God. I was like, wait, yeah. Like,
what am I going to do with it,
yeah,
idiot?
At that point.
Yeah, at that point it was, what, a, like, 15-year-old budget car that was totaled? Like, yeah, I'm really going to bend over backwards for this one.
I really want the pieces of my car to keep them in a jar for
mm-hmm,
memories.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. I mean, sucks, but also funny that they were like that.
But yeah, they're pretty much, there were a bunch of different versions of the Saturn L series. The L200 is the one that I'm personally familiar with. There's the L100, 200, 300, LS, LS1, LS2, LW, LW2, LW200, LW300. As you can guess, these variants are mostly just like station wagon variants or regular versions. I think the main thing to talk about, that like the great example, is you have this white one that is their main preview image, and then you have the rear view of the 2000 L200, which looks very much like the one I had. I think it has more of a spoiler, but otherwise, you know,
yeah,
silver.
But the lights and stuff.
Yeah. So looking at the layout of this, from the front, I think, honestly, it's a little too squashed.
Yeah, it's interesting because it looks like it's actually trying to do the makeup eyes that we were just talking about on the other one, like where it has, you know, the turn signals next to the headlights and the way that they extend off, but they're kind of small, like the headlights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very narrow band. I do like down below, though, it has the two little lights down below and the, you know, the fog lights and then the grill down there. That looks all right. It just, the ratio of just, especially on this white one, like the color white. Like, people talk about how white shoes make your feet look big, black shoes make your feet look small, right? It's just, like, the way we perceive colors. The amount of unused space on this hood in white is just overpowering.
Yeah.
By the way, do we ever give credit to the person who told us what those little bumps were on the hood?
I don't know. I don't remember.
A listener wrote in to be like, they're washer fluid, dude. That's where the washer fluid comes from.
Oh, yeah. Someone yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We did talk about that. Yes. Okay. Yeah. It is also a very, like, as it's the Saturn, as I say, what I think of as the Saturn, like, very, like, curved, wide front, in a way that I don't think is super flattering. You do have some character lines on some of these going along that same, like, just below the windows, way we talked about on previous models.
Uh-huh.
When you get to the back is where you get the other, I think, iconic thing. The light setup of the back is sort of a red bar stacked on an orange bar of tail lights with a silver bar separating them, which I think looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of color to the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, there was station wagon versions. Station wagon version, I mean, it's a station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's mostly the same at the front, it's just the rear of it is now a station wagon.
Yeah. Feels like the besides model history, which is mostly just like, they made this car, then they made this car, then they made this car, with very little description of what changed, the biggest section is quality issues.
Yeah. So, let's see. Engine failures, transmission failures, overall fit and finish issues, tire noise and vibration linked to poorly designed control arm bushings, and non-adjustable rear alignments, another recall from the North Carolina Consumers Council, alleging brake and taillight failures, affected 300,000 vehicles in the United States and Canada, the North Carolina Consumers Council petition for an investigation into timing chain failures. Okay, so there's a lot of problems with this car, apparently, huh?
I would not recommend this car.
Yeah, the organization reported the complaints experience. Of engine due to timing chains persist to this day, and its calls for recall expansions have been largely ignored. God.
Yeah, it's like I don't know that I had anything that there needed to be a recall over. I also might have not have just noticed, but I was like, yeah, this car does not seem super well made.
Yeah. All right, and then the final variant of this, the Aura you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
The successor. And I assume this is like one of the last Saturns before Saturn is gone.
Yes, this died with the brand.
Yep. Let's see. Four-door, five-passenger, front engine, front vehicle, front-wheel drive midsize sedan. It was it debuted as a concept car in 2005, apparently, originally. The largest sedan in the Saturn range. It was supposed to be rejuvenation for Saturn to make it profitable and competitive with European imports. Apparently, reaction to the car was positive, and it was given the North America Car of the Year in 2007.
Well, great. The story must go very happily from there.
Yeah, and that was discontinued the 2010 model year along with the Saturn division itself. Yeah. Alas. Okay, so from the outset, doesn't it look like a very special card to me? It does have eyebrows, though, kind of, is the effect, because it has, so that you've got, like, the two-bulb headlight thing going on, but then, like, you've got, like, the more reflective silver area above those, and then the, you know, turn signal lights, and just the design makes it look like it has eyebrows that are very close to the eyes to me.
It also has a very weird smug grill setup.
Yeah, like, because you have these, like, so you've got, you know, the main grill in the middle, which has, like, a silver bar with the Saturn logo in the middle of it, and then, like, on the bumper, you also have, like, you know, the grill things going on, and especially on the two sides, like, it's got, like, these, like, little, like, lines above. It's fancy looking.
Is the thing. And the middle one is curved into a smile.
Yeah. I also like the character line that goes from the headlight, you know, to the wheel well there. It looks nice. The rest of the car is very plain in comparison to the front of this, actually, though. Like, the main body, the side doors, everything, like, fits very neatly together in a way that's very, like, you know, plain.
Specifically with this one here that they have as their main featured image, I think it looks very striking, the choice of having the main car color be brushed silver with chrome silver accents all over the place.
Yeah, because it's got chrome around, like, the windows, the passenger window and the driver window, I should say. Then you've got, like, yeah, the chrome on the bumper. It's in chrome on the door handles. It is an interesting choice. Interior looks nice. It's got the wood panel interior. I always like wood panel interior. Fortunately, the wood panel interior is what made changing part of my interior. Even the fake wood panel interior is what made changing part of my interior on my Kia expensive one time. But
so. Let's see. Come on. I know you have it. Google. Here we go. This is a good one. Maybe it's not as good as I thought. The resolution on this is shit. Okay. Why is the resolution on every used car photo just fucking disgustingly bad?
Because they gotta make sure you know that it's... They gotta make it look even crunchier, is the thing.
Okay. This one will work. So, here is a picture of the interior of a Saturn L200. This one has... This is... pretty close to what mine looked like, yeah.
Actually, it doesn't look too bad, all things considered.
No. So you see that wood trim around the stereo set there?
Yeah.
One time, I was stopped at a red light, and a car came up behind me and rear-ended me.
Uh-huh.
And they got out and ran over and were panicking, right? And they were like, oh, God, I can't afford another accident right now. I looked around the outside of the car. I was already at a stop. So my suspension just took the entirety of the hit. Their bumper started to peel off. And I was like, it seems like my car's okay. And I open it up, and this whole, like, faux wood, like, trim was sitting on my driver's seat.
Oh, no.
I picked it up and pushed it back into place, and there was a click. And I was like, all right, we're good.
That's really
And they
funny.
Were like, thank you.
Here we go. Here, I found, oh, god damn it, as much like you, all the pictures I could find of this, oh, robots.txt, god damn it, all the pictures I can find of this, for the Kia Sorento are not, like, good images, but this is, like, what mine looked like. Specifically, you see how, if you look at the passenger side, like, little panel on the left, that panel was the thing that was apparently a very annoying, like, way more expensive thing to replace because of the wood finish. So I ended up not getting the wood finish panel, and so I had mismatched panels on the inside.
Good. Well, it, character.
It was literally like $100 more for the wood panel finish than just getting, like, a black one for, like, I think it was, like, $60 or something. Because I didn't have to replace any of the electronics. It was just there was something with the panel that was damaged that they wanted to replace.
I mean, I would have made the same choice.
Yeah. Good for it. I was just like, it's much cheaper to just get a black panel, so. Anyway, yeah. Let's see. So the interior of the Aura is apparently a European-style interior. Huh. I didn't know
that means. Saying this.
Yeah. It used to be... It was praised for its design, but still criticized for cheap materials.
Sure.
Which, I mean, isn't that, like, the whole point of this line, though?
I mean, I don't know about the Aura. I, like, by this point, I was not paying that much attention. I don't know how much it was supposed to be a budget model. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. But yeah.
Yep.
You know.
So there was the top line model, which was the XR. Then there's the XE, which is the base version. The green line, which was a mild hybrid. And then there was a section about a mild hybrid apparently means internal combustible engine with electric combined motor generator and a parallel hybrid configuration, allowing the engine to be turned off whenever the car is coasting, braking, or stopped, and then restarted again. Okay, so are mild hybrids just the same as hybrids?
No, it looks like mild hybrids are like ones that use battery for certain things, but like you can't really drive on it. It says like allow the engine to be turned off whenever the car is coasting, braking, or stopped.
So, okay, but it's not using the electricity for like
power.
Yeah. Okay,
just to keep the car literally running.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess it's better than nothing, but.
They were going to introduce a new hybrid system in summer of 2010, and then it shut down, so never mind, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the recall. General Motors recalled 473,841 vehicles involving the Chevy Malibu, Pontiac G6, and Saturn Ara models from 2007 through 2010. The problem is a condition that can make cars roll when in park.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's not good. Many years later to be noticing that.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway. All right. Well, that's a lot of those cars.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have a looking at the rear shot of it, by the way. I like this rear. It's good. It has a three-tiered rear lights where it is. They're fairly narrow, but it is like red, silver bar, red, white. It has that character line to the wheel well. It has the silver bar at the bottom of the liftable part of the trunk. I think it looks fairly a twin exhaust.
Yeah. Why was this listed as... Okay. There was a rebadged version that was a Saturn one. Okay. Sorry, I was looking at the concept cars, and I need to show you this one just because it's so ridiculous looking. Well, this will be the last little thing we cover. Look at this weirdo.
Okay.
The Opel Flexstream, which was shown as the Saturn Flexstream at the North American International Auto Show.
I just saw the rear view.
It's a weirdo. It's a plug-in hybrid concept small family hatchback. Apparently it is using the same platform as the Chevrolet Volt.
The Chevy Volt.
Weird looking. It is. So you've got, I mean, it's a concept car, so of course it looks weird.
Wait a minute.
What?
It's a plug-in diesel hybrid.
Wait, yeah, that's...
Why would you do that? You're like, listen, it's a hybrid, but when we're using the gas, we gotta destroy the environment as fast as possible.
God. It is a weird-looking car. This looks like a car from, like, Cyberpunk 2077 or something, right? Like,
and one of the ones where you're like, guys really didn't nail it on this design.
Yeah, because, like, so you've got the front of it, the bumper and the front, like, the engine area, etc., all one thing, right? Like, it's just all mm-hmm. together. The lights have a bracket shape to them, and you can see the two lights, or no, there are three lights in there. But they have, like, a weird bracket shape on either side. You've got the little front, grill area, which is all chromed out. Then you've got, like, a little bumper on the bottom.
You can see that it's low-key pogging a little.
Yeah, slight pog. The front window and the sunroof are combined into, like, one thing. But they also have a strip going down the middle of the car that's in the car's color. Incidentally, this is in that same ugly version of mint green for a car that I don't like from earlier, which is funny, because I think mint green is a good color. I just don't like the way it looks on cars, apparently, at least
I think this is silver and just has bad lighting because it's at a trade show.
You know what? Yeah, and look behind, like, the people taking the pictures, there are green lights all over the place, it looks like, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The car is really ugly, because, like, I don't like the way that this, like, front window combines with the roof. Because it, you know what? It would look cooler if it didn't have that bar in the middle. But it has that, like, weird, like, colored bar in the middle of the top. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the passenger, there are no, I don't know how you open these doors from the outside. I guess you just open them with key. Because,
I guess.
There's no,
I mean, you can see handle. A little thing. You can see a little thing where the doors meet. Maybe you can just push that with your finger.
Weird, okay. The side, the...
Oh, you know what? Those look like they're just, looks like it is just a spot for a key. So maybe it is like the key, the idea is the key grips well enough that you just pull with the key.
Oh.
Don't ship that. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, that feels like you're just asking for someone's key to break off in there, and then it's...
I mean, you know, to be fair, it is just a concept car. They're just fucking around.
Yeah. The rear of this, though, is where things get real fucking weird, as if it already wasn't. The back of this looks like a bug head. Like, you've got these really big, like, windows on the rear and the hatchback part, right? That are, like, mm-hmm. shaped in such a way that they look like bug eyes, but
it's
then,
a
like,
Kamen Rider.
Yeah, and then you've got, like, a, like, not a spoiler, what is this?
So, look at it.
The rear bumper, like, opens up.
So by default, like in when it's not, you know, activated, it has been activated here for this trade show, and I assume it activates when you're driving, but this bottom part of the, like, the rear bumper lifts up on, like, hydraulics to become your extended new bumper.
Yeah, and also reveals all the lights beneath it, like the tail, the brake lights and whatnot are underneath.
Motherfucker looks like Mr. Plow.
So weird. Concept cars are always wild, and I love that they never designed them. I will say the Saturn one in the red looks a little better, actually. The Saturn Flex Stream down there. It looks a little better in red. It's still not great. It still looks like, again,
still
like
a bad design.
Yeah, a Cyberpunk 2077 car, but, you know.
Yeah, what a mess.
All right, I mean, that's all
but
of them.
But, you know, listen, we have to be thorough.
Oh.
It does say at the top, not to be confused with the Opel Flexstream GTE. We should probably just...
All right, what is that? Oh! It's better. It's fucking weird still.
I agree with both statements.
So, the headlights are very small on this. You've got two lights that are, like, squares for the lights, but then, like, the actual light well is, like, has a sharp angle going inward there. Like, what would you even describe these as, like, shape-wise? These are weird.
I mean, these are like... Like a single quotation mark, kind of?
Yeah, they're really weird. Then the area where the lights are is also raised extensively. Like, if you can see it with the hood there. That, like, the hood is, like, depressed a bit downward, whereas, like, you know, the area with the lights and stuff on the side of the car's body go, like, higher up. Then you've got, like, a nice front grille that has, like, a weird pattern, though, for, like, the little, like, intake, like, cover there.
Yeah, you've got the, like, the mesh, the steel mesh, like, weave over the top of it with, like, the big, like... The logo on, like a chevron or something. It looks like it's like a Flash Gordon thing here.
Yeah. Also, if you look at, like, the weave, though, like, look at the way that, like, it patterns. It patterns really weirdly. Probably because it's moving at, like, it's wrapped around at weird angles.
Yeah, it also could be that it's just playing with the camera, that the camera's having trouble.
Yeah. Then you've got, like, two little... parts on the bottom of the bumper that stick out a little bit, and it's got, like, a gap between those and, like, the upper part, which is kind of neat.
With a very slight intake there, yeah.
Yeah. The top of the window and the body on the top and everything, much like a lot of concept cars, all kind of fuse together. Going all the way to the back of this, actually.
No handles whatsoever on this thing.
Yeah, no handles, no even, like, key slots, like, nothing.
Also, no rear view mirrors.
No rear view mirror.
Which I don't think the Flexstream had either, did it?
I don't think it did, actually.
Yeah, no, those aren't stylish enough. No, it looks like it does. It looks like it has them on the inside.
Oh, they're on the inside, okay.
That's horrible.
Yeah, weird.
Go to jail.
I wonder if it's the same on this, because look, it has like a little like weird like well if it's... you're looking at it from the rear. But they would be hitting the tent.
It's so heavily tinted that it's like, I mean, you know, it is a concept car, you know, they'll do dumb things that look good that they know would be shitty on a car you had to drive, whatever.
So as you start, like, the passenger windows, and the driver window, like, all the side windows, they kind of, like, all fuse to go back in a really cool way, I will say. Like, a combination of making, like, all windows on a thing that looks much better than the prior FlexStream. Then, you've got, like, so the front drive, you know, like, the front windshield is pretty normal. Then you look at the sunroof, and it's got, like, it's an inverse of the other car, right? Where you have, like, on the trunk, you have, like, the sunroof thing going all the way to the middle of the car there, but it's, like, instead of it being the car body, it's window. It's literally, like, an inverse of the prior car and how it does it. The back of this thing is tall and weird looking. It's got really weird brake lights. The bumper is really high, and it's got like a gap below.
And it's part of the thing that's really weird is the way the lights are placed. The back of this is just a slightly bendy sheet of white metal. And so there are no like landmarks. You get lost in this expanse of metal, and the lights are just sort of slapped in the middle of it. They just feel arbitrary.
Apparently these are called, by the way, the doors on this are called suicide doors.
I feel like we may have encountered suicide doors before. The fun story with suicide doors is, so basically suicide doors, companies would prefer you call them something like rear access doors or coach doors. They were called suicide doors because of the days before seatbelts. Because the way they opened, you have to lean forward to open them, and you're leaning forward into a new gap. So, quote, the risk of falling out of the car and into traffic was high.
Also, so I'm looking at the suicide door article. The thing I would be worried about is mentioned here. Aerodynamic factors forcing rear hinge doors to open at speed in older cars. That's the thing I would actually worry about is... You are driving towards... These are essentially air brakes that are your doors, so I feel like they would either pop open or rip off the hinges. You know what I mean?
That's... Okay, this paragraph. Rear hinge doors were especially popular with mobsters in the gangster era of the 1930s, supposedly owing to the ease of pushing passengers out of moving vehicles.
You know what?
These things are great.
The thing that's funny about the FlexStream concept here is, like, the idea of concept cars is so funny because, like, nothing seems to have come from this, right? Like, if you look at it, it's just, they made a funny car, and it got an award. And that's it.
Like, yeah.
Like, why did this exist? Like, no, the problem is, like, at least if a concept car was given to some rich asshole to drive around, at least then, like, I can understand it a little bit. But these concept cars that are just like, yeah, we made it. I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know. They're just not as exciting. And they're just like...
But I mean, like...
Yeah. I don't know.
The idea is that they're testing things. I think, like, perhaps behind the scenes, it was like they were able to test some, like, engine thing or some drivetrain thing or something that I don't understand. What I really want now, that what this is really making me thinking of, is once again, I'm thinking of how prototypes are in Gundam.
Uh-huh.
I want there to be, like, a Gundam show that starts with there being, like, some, like, you know, mobile suit show, and they're, like, debuting some, like, ridiculous, clearly unwieldy, like, concept mobile suit that then they do have to actually pilot.
Oh, no.
And you have your Gundam boy constantly complaining about, like, why do I have to do this weird shit to just open the fucking cockpit?
In a way, that's kind of the double Zeta.
I mean, the Double Zeta is like, I hear what you're saying, and I think that's kind of right, but the Double Zeta is like the opposite of a concept car, right? It is, because it shows terribly. It's a clunky mess.
You know,
it doesn't, like, I like the Double Zeta, and I like how it looks, but I don't think if you bring it to a mobile suit show, people look at that and go, wow. They look at that and go, Jesus Christ.
You know what? That is fair and correct.
I feel like the V2, it comes close, you know?
The V2 feels very much like a concept car thing going on.
Uh-huh.
What about the F91? Not really a concept car, but the F91 does feel... I don't know if it's because of the name, but it does feel very car-like in design, especially, like, with the torso and having, like, the grill going on and stuff.
And also the fins on the shoulders feel very showy.
Yeah.
I definitely could see the F90. I feel like it is still slightly too practical. I feel like you would need to give it more melty space curves. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, yeah, definitely.
All right. All right.
But I want a Gundam that looks like an Aibo.
Oh, that'd be fun.
A Gundam where you're like, why are the legs windows?
Why are the legs windows? It's fine. Why did you make my cockpit just out of glass? What shiny?
It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
All right. Now.
I did remember the thing we were going to do last time, but this has gone long enough. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But the thing for last time is we were going to do like the Jared Mesa book. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, right.
So we'll do that at some point.
Yeah.
We'll do it at some point. Well, you were close. You were like, weren't we going to do like Echo to CL? You were trying, your brain was trying to come up with it. And I was like, I don't remember at all.
All right. Well, Six, first we have a question.
Yes.
Sorry you've had to suffer through a car episode to get to your mecha question. But I guess it kind of fits in a weird way, though. Do you want to read the question? Who's it from?
Sure.
Just offering a quick secondary warning here, folks. We are about to get into our question, and we do discuss some elements of Future Gundam. Pretty light mechanical spoilers. Not really a big deal, but if you're worried about anything of that nature, I would go ahead and tap out.
This is a question from, common messenger friend of the show, Twitter user Vi. Got a question for Mechanista. As a recent enjoyer of Outer Wilds, I have grown attached to the kitbash of a spaceship you have in that game. What kind of mobile suit would you like for just traveling across space, interacting with whatever is floating nearby, and getting quickly in and out? Doesn't have to be the best for the job, but rather the most cozy, the one you vibe with the most.
Ooh, yeah, so yeah. I mean, I did read it earlier, but this is, it's a good question, actually. Well, it doesn't help that, like, I have worked on doing, like, setting stuff with friends and whatnot that involves using mecha for non-warfare purposes, which is to say, usually, like, mining in space or whatever. So it's like, it's something that is something I've thought about, you know? But if it has to be a specific existing mobile suit rather than an original design, that's where it's like, do you have an answer?
I mean, I think I want a better answer because, like, the one thing is, like, if I was in, specifically for in space, it would be so fun to just cruise around in, like, your hot rod tall geese. Because, like, in space, you would have enough, like, time to accelerate that you wouldn't have to worry about G-forces as much. And you could just be like, hell yeah, I am just, like, cruising with super verniers, baby. Also, with how big that thing is, you better believe it's got a roomy cockpit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could do my cheap answer, which is to say, because this is actually one of my favorite of these kind of designs. But the problem is, it's kind of not a mobile suit, but it is from Gundam. It's the Gaza A, because I love this little guy. And the Gaza A is just a fancy Ogo, so it feels like that's cheating, though, you know?
Also, you wouldn't get anywhere. That thing's going to be slow as shit.
Look at it. It's a little guy.
It'd be good. He's a cute friend. I like that design.
I guess quickly getting in and out would be the problem. I'm just thinking of this as, like, something you deploy in order to... See, I could pick the other cheap answer, which would be to just say the... What is it? Brain spacing on it. The Stargazer.
I mean, sure.
It does have a cockpit. It does have a cockpit that's designed for two people. it's a long-range space flight mobile suit. In a way, it makes sense.
I mean, that's a commuter vehicle. You're using its, like, its, you know, special drive to cover distances shortly. You're not cruising in that thing.
Cruising? See, cruising is hard for
me. Like, the Rikdom's Vi is a cruiser.
Now, is the Gerbera Tetra Kai a cruiser?
That's a hot rodder, but yeah, absolutely. That would be a fun one.
That would be a fun one. A hobby Gerbera Tetra Kai. I mean, that's the thing, right? Is like, when I'm imagining this also, I'm imagining it having to be a civilian version of said suit. So my brain's just like, you know, thinking about that kind of thing, it's like, oh yeah, you gotta outfit it. Like the Hobby Hijack, so you have to paint it in more garish colors, get rid of all the guns, replace some of the guns with, like, you know, like, other functions, and, like, maybe make it, like, less overall intense. I'm so glad they're doing that Hobby Hijack.
I would also happily do the concept art that never came to pass of the Domingo.
Oh, Domingo, okay.
That'd be fun.
I'm trying to think of anything else.
Part of it with, like, I'm thinking about, like, I know it says space, but you'd, like, have to deal with colonies, or, you know, it'd be nice to have a vehicle that could handle Earth if it needed to. And, yeah. Like, hover movement is gonna feel so good.
You know what? That is a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess along those lines, like, any 00, like, drive with, you know, anything with one of those drives is gonna feel
good.
Amazing. A GN drive, the way those things move.
Yeah.
Where you basically just locally turn off the concept of gravity.
I mean, yeah, no, if you're doing that, that probably feels great. Trying to think of anything else. I mean, I guess there's the Moonwort.
I mean, I feel like the Moonwort would actually be a pretty miserable ride.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. I mean, because these things are built to be so, like, they're well made, but they're so bolt together, and also that cockpit is going to be a nightmare of controls.
You know what, that's a fair
point. It's going to have, like, 70 control panels for things that aren't even attached, but just in case.
You know what, that is a fair point. That is a fair point.
Because you know I love the Moonwort. I just feel like...
Probably.
And also, the other thing is... All of those machines are test machines. Test machines are going to be especially not designed
for comfort. They are, in fact, concept cars. In a way.
Well, no, again, because they're not for showing, right? They're internal use prototypes.
Yeah, they are actually meant to be used.
This is like their internal test. This is not a real thing. Don't look this up. It's not real. I'm making this up. But it's like before they made the Prius, they probably took a Corolla and bolted it together real weird and welded it real weird to see if the concepts would work. I bet that thing sucked to drive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. What about the Kampfer? I don't think it would be a good thing to drive, but what about the Kampfer?
I think it'd be okay.
Fun in linear directions.
It looked like the cockpit looked comfortable enough in 0080.
You can hang your whatever you're drinking, vodka.
Yeah, exactly.
See, it's funny that I haven't really picked any, like, other than, like, hinting at the Moonwort. I haven't really picked a transformable suit, even though that feels like it would, in fact, be, like, one of the better things to pick would, in fact, be a transformable. You did pick the Domingo, which would have been a transformable. If I went outside of Gundam, you know what would be great for cruising? Cruise Chaser Blasty.
Oh.
It sounds like I'm making a shitpost, but, I mean, if you were to take the guns off of it... Here, hold on, I'm linking yet. Because I have the art book that came with the Motoroid. If you took the guns off of it, though, it's really big. It is fast. It has a cool transformation. And, I mean, it could interact in all the ways you need it to.
Mm-hmm.
I like the shapes of it. It's just, it would be...
seems fun enough.
Mm-hmm. Or also from Cruise Chaser Blasty, I'm linking one more thing, because this is another thing I was thinking about. I was like, what mobile suit with booster legs just for space would be great? And I couldn't think of a specific mobile suit, but the Bagress here would also be a fun one to cruise around in. Look at that guy. That one, you just get both modes in one. You know, you don't have to turn into a jet. You just, you have your fucked up legs that are just thrusters, and you still have hands.
Mm-hmm.
For interacting and stuff. That would be, that could be a fun one too.
So this one would actually, the times we've seen it in space, it seems like it would be wildly unfun to drive. But on land, a scope dog would be fun as hell.
Oh yeah, no, a scope dog would be great. Just fucking doing donuts in the IHOP parking lot with a scope dog. It's a really funny image in my head now.
Though God, that cockpit is cramped.
It is.
I think one that's actually a really good pick. You mentioned the Comfer. I think that's close. The Titania would be fun as hell.
Yeah, yeah, less suicidal.
Well, I mean, hopefully, as your civilian use Comfer, no one is shooting at you.
No, but I mean, it doesn't have a lot of armor. I feel like if you crash in that, it's also going to be bad. And I guess if you crash in any mobile suit, it's going to be bad.
It's probably going to be bad, yeah.
Doing my space flights in the ADF-01 Falcon. Laying down flat, because it's got, remember, it has the laydown cockpit, the coffin.
Yeah, yeah.
You just kind of relax and lay down, and then you just fly really fast in various directions. That's that. I meant it somewhat as a ship post, but I do think it would be fun to fly because of that.
The Valkyrie would be really fun.
Valkyries would be fun, yeah. Yeah. Kind of went beyond, like, way over the scope of the question, because I kept thinking of other things, but, like, there's a lot of things that would be fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I bet the Drossy, well, no, the Drossy is probably so badly made.
Yeah.
It's like, shape-wise, it would be fun. If you had, like, a hot-rodded Drossy or something, but, like, just looking at that machine, it's like saying it would be really fun to drive a Geo. It's like, no, no, it would not.
Anything else? You know what would actually be great? The Jamru Finn.
Oh, yeah, that would be terrific.
Mm-hmm. It still has the little guy mode, but also it's fast. It goes in a lot of directions. I would assume it's decently comfy. It also is not like, it's not like it would be hard to store. It's a shorty for a mobile suit. Because, I mean, it's very wide, but, you know, it's not tall.
And one thing that I feel like makes a big difference that I've been thinking about with the Transformables is its transformation is very, like, is not that big of a shift.
No. Because
I feel like it would be easy to do, like, I feel like there are a lot of mobile suits where the switching to mobile armor mode, that would be really uncomfortable.
Do you know what would be the most rough thing to pilot in space, though, in my opinion? The Luna Tank.
Luna Tank wouldn't be ideal.
I just want to bring up the Luna Tank. Sorry, I'm going through my images and I'm like, yeah. Along the lines of the Jamru Finn, actually, since you mentioned it also, I think the Masala would actually be pretty fun too.
Yeah, yeah, the Masala would be great.
Because it just flattens itself for its transformation, so again, when you want to cruise around, you could just... Whoop.
And it has hella propulsion, so you'd have a good time with that.
Yeah.
Another thing I feel like would be, I don't think I would want to, like, do a long trip with this, but just to fuck around with a little bit, the ball, specifically because it doesn't have AMBAC, that would be really interesting.
Mm.
Like, just, like, the just directional thrust would be kind of fun. You could do some fun shit with that.
See, my version of that would be the Ogo.
Sure.
The Ogo would be fun, too.
But the Ogo has AMBAC.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, you know what would actually be a fun machine, though, along these lines, too? Even for being a transformable, the Methus.
Yeah.
I think the Methus would be a fun civilian machine to have.
The Methus always felt kind of poorly built. Not like poorly built, but like a little, like, I don't know.
You say that, and then you think about how every fucking mobile suit past a certain point just uses the Methus' transformation. Because it's actually a really simple and easy one.
Sure.
The
sure.
Rizal is a Methys. The Zeta 2 is a Methys. There's so many Methyses in Gundam that aren't Methyses.
You're not wrong. Yeah, maybe I am.
Ah, time to be styling, so. Though, in the experimental X1 Methys, where I just turn into a jet.
That'd be all right. Specifically, the part I worry about is just that's just the way the torso is just hanging out there always feels really scary to me.
That's fair.
I mean, but like, shit, I'd fly a Rizal. Why not?
Yeah.
You know what I would not fly is a fucking Rigazee.
No, not at all. What about the Hamdrabi? Not only that, the Hamdrabi would be great at gathering materials from planet to planet because you could just stick them with your tail.
I feel like the Hamdrabi is like a machine that is like the Dodge Viper, right? Like, it turns out to be actually like really fussy and annoying to fly. Like, okay. Very capable, but like, there's something about it that just seems like it is not prioritizing drivability. Or pilotability, I suppose, is the term.
That's fair. That is fair, and I can see why that is.
I feel like anything Yazan likes this much must be really annoying to fly.
Oh yeah, Yazan would drive a Dodge Viper, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, dumb answer, but because it just popped into my head, it would be really funny to fly the Zacrello around in space. It'd be so obnoxious also. I feel like the Zacrello would be fun just because it would be so big and obnoxious and goofy to fly around.
What is a civilian Zacrello? Okay, pull off the scythe arms and the big guns. What's left? It's just a mouth and eyes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Though, I mean, imagine if those two bottom, like, pylons there are just purely, like, thrusters.
Mm-hmm.
The motherfucker breaks the speed of light.
you gotta get rid of the, claws. No claws. Instead, replace them with, like, little grabby arms. Like, you know, like, the toy grabby arms that extend and, like, you know, you know the ones, right? Like, where...
Yeah,
got the two handles, just like giant versions of those for the Zacrello's arms. You have to blunt off all the teeth.
I just want a picture of like an engineering team with huge files filing down the Zacrello's teeth.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Peace bonding the mouth. All right. Well, I think that's what I've got on the question.
Yeah.
You know, actually, also, I bet the Dendrobium would be pretty fun. Be a pain in the ass to get in and out. So that's kind of against the spirit of the question. But
yeah. Well,
I bet that thing can fucking cook.
Probably. All right. Now,
what? Why the fuck would they ever make a hobby Dendrobium?
Hobby Dendrobium. I mean, you know, you say that, but we can trace a line here.
Okay.
Well, the Gym Custom, right?
Right.
So the Gym Custom is something that is like, you know, a very standard reliable Gundam in a way, right? Like just your very standard Gundam. Or, mobile suit. Then, here's the thing. The Gym Custom... You also have... So the Gym Custom feels like the gym that would be actually something that you could sell to, like, expensive hobbyists, to me. There is a full burner version. What?
I feel like you'd do the command, but I see your point.
But there's also, let us not forget then, the High Mobility Gym Custom, which is just the full burner.
It's true.
And...
But so, you're drawing a link to GP1, not GP3.
Yeah. I was like, well, what if you put this in there? But what do you do with a Dendrobium, even? Yeah. No.
I mean, a Dendrobium with no guns on it.
I was kind of...
What does that mean?
Look.
Okay, you know what? Instead of the eye field generator, you just have a huge speaker. We're in space. I don't care.
I mean, it would make a lot of good sound in there, yeah, now that I think about it.
The second you pulled into the dock, you know, and there's air in there.
Just blast everyone. Just the rudest motherfucker around. All right. Well.
We're definitely done here.
Yeah, we're done. Did you know that they made an Engage Gundam with the BWS equipment?
I did not.
And also, yeah, no, that's so weird. Anyway, sorry. Anyway. I was saving some of the new Engage Gundam art, and I was just like, oh, wait. That people have been uploading to the wiki. Huh. All right. Well, anything else, Six, to share before we go?
No.
All right, well.
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SIXDETTMAR. You can also find me at that same spot on co-host, and DMs are open if you have questions, comments, listener requests. Send them in.
All right. For me, I'm Dylan. You can find me at LowPolyRobot on Twitter, co-host, and Blue Sky. Haven't been posting anywhere in particular. I've been absorbed by Dragon Quest XI, which is a pretty fun game. I've enjoyed it quite a bit. Because it's one of those games I got for free on my PlayStation with that subscription. So, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, Six, what's our sign off?
You just want quotes about Saturn?
I don't know.
Is that what you're asking me for?
You had some for the other car episodes.
Yeah, those were car companies that succeeded and lasted for more than like a decade and a half.
Yeah, well. Yeah. What
Saturn
do we do? I can't
ask
leave.
Us to give up our dreams only to make them real.
All right. Peace.
Peace.